What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Elevate Experience,
the podcast about overcoming struggles and adversity and how that relates to addiction, recovery, and health. I am your host and the CEO of Elevate Addiction Services, Angie Manson.
And I'm Dallas Terrell, co-host and life intervention counselor at Elevate. Thank you so much for joining us, and let's jump right in.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This week, Dallas and I thought we wanted to do a little holiday special for everybody. When this airs, it'll be after Thanksgiving and before Christmas. And this year, I think every year is extremely difficult for addicts and alcoholics who are struggling through the holidays. But we know for sure with COVID and the different restrictions that are occurring due to that, it's going to be even harder this year. So we wanted to put out an episode to see what we could do to offer any kind of advice and help to help everybody out. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome to the show. Well, that was well said, Ange. I think that highlights exactly what we're trying to do here. I think it'd be too corny to say we're trying to spread some holiday cheer. I think that would just be a little too corny. However, I think we are here to point out situations to look out for, things to look out for, things to do to be constructive or proactive during the holiday times. I think what sparks this the most for us is running a treatment center and having an inpatient treatment center here at Elevate. And every year we have Christmas and Thanksgiving and New Year's and Halloween, and we tend to see it be A, a really good time for clients, but B, we also see as well that it is also a difficult time. So I think we, you and me specifically, are good at out creating or rising above the, you know, situational depression or just the situational darkness that can come up during the holidays and not being with your loved ones. And thought it'd just be good to talk about that.
Yeah, well, and I think, and I kind of hit on this in the beginning, even this year, we typically allow guests to come up for the holidays. So yeah. A lot of people who are in treatment with us are allowed to have their families up. And then it doesn't quite feel so lonely and isolated and away from their loved ones. And this year, due to restrictions, we're unable to do that. So it's even going to be
more
challenge. Yeah, even more difficult for our clients as well. I mean, luckily they have one another and they have us and they're not in isolation, but it's still very challenging through times when you're supposed to be with your family and with your loved ones and you're unable to.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's going to be super difficult to outcreate that, I guess. But like you said, we are here and they're here for each other and the food's going to be really good. And we're going to have volleyball and we're going to have CrossFit workouts and meditations and
bingo. We gotta get some bingo. We always gotta have some sort of competitive games going on the holidays.
Yeah, just kind of stay busy. And of course there's gonna be football, so that's nice. There'll be things to do. However, that's what's gonna be happening here at the center, and it is private what happens up here, so we can't really talk too much more than that, really, just for the audience. That's what's gonna be going on here. But we wanted to kind of dedicate this more to you guys and your situations, and I don't want to say the real world, but the world outside of treatment.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, again, by the time this airs, a lot of people will have probably seen their loved ones either virtually or in person over the holidays. And so we always see a pretty big increase in attendance into rehab after the holidays, because I think that's where loved ones finally get eyes on people who maybe they don't see all the time, and maybe they haven't, you know, been in their presence in a while. And it can be like jolting and shocking to see your loved one messed up compared to the last time you've seen them. So we always see a huge spike in admissions after, usually after Thanksgiving, because that's the first holiday where people start to get eyes on people.
Yeah, you kind of get to see how everyone's year's been. You know, you don't, you know, as you get older, you're not, what do they call it? You fly the coop, you know, so there's not as many eyes on you, or you come back from college, or, you know, like you said, you get some eyes on you and everyone gets together and you kind of see what's been going on. And it is kind of ironic that during the holidays we get a lot more intakes. I think it's because you just can't hide what's been happening, you know.
Yeah, and I think people hit their bottoms pretty quickly, because especially if you're pretty deep in addiction, you're doing a lot of unethical things that are ending you in a pretty lonely, desperate place where maybe it's like, okay, maybe rehab doesn't sound so bad anymore.
Yeah, and it's almost like a perfect scenario for an intervention. Like a Thanksgiving to me sounds like an intervention if you're the one doing drugs. You know, it's like absolutely. Everyone that would do your intervention is going to be there. Everyone that cares about you.
Exactly.
So it's not a bad time to bring that up.
No, and a lot of times people will see it on Thanksgiving and then we get the calls and by Christmas, then the intervention comes while the
second time. Yeah.
Yeah.
The second get together.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, I'll pull it together for December and they don't. And then everyone sees again. And
yep. It's time to
January 1st, New Year's resolutions roll around and getting sober is always good next year.
Yep.
I used to always tell my mom I'll get sober tomorrow.
There you go.
I did that for like 7 years and didn't
every
get sober.
Every New Year's Day.
Yeah. Every New Year's Day. I'm going to get sober this year.
That's great.
I really am. Yeah. You know, so. Yeah, I don't know. I think what comes up for me the most, Ange, is, you know, kind of for the people that are sober already or the people that are in recovery or even just, you know, the average Joe or the average Joanne. I think I just coined that. I might
have. I like that.
Yeah, I kind of just came up with that on the fly. But what comes up for me the most is the idea of, like, celebration. And most people's idea of celebration is family, food, drinking. Right, some sort of, you know, celebration. And that's kind of like what people do to honor being together again. The family and the food, I'm all down for. However, the drinking, that's not my scene or my cup of tea. And I think as a person in recovery, it's hard to navigate that space when everyone you love is celebrating this good time or this holiday with alcohol and wine and beer and whatever, you know, they are doing. So it that can be a difficult situation to navigate if you're early in recovery. Hell, even me, you know, 6 years sober, going to, you know, family events, I'm kind of like, let's tone it down, folks, you know, let's just eat the food and go snowboarding, you know, we don't need the beer and the wine. And but they do, and that's okay. But I kind of wanted to bring that up as something, you know, maybe pick your brain as far as solutions or workarounds or boundaries to put up. What does anything come up for you when you think of that situation?
I just think of stay busy, stay refocused, and mm-hmm. when it's time to go, it's time to go. Like, yeah. You know, usually if people are drinking all day, towards the end of the evening, it gets either a little loose or you get a little over it and
or dramatic,
you know, or things can get dramatic. Yeah. And you know, I think it's totally fine to cut out early. You know, you did your bid, you were there, you got to see everybody, you loved it. And, you know, you can't compromise your own integrity when things start to get a little sketchy. So, you know, yeah. The early out, I think, is completely acceptable.
That's a great point. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the early out because there's two sides of the coin. There's the coin of you're new to recovery and you don't know what to expect, or you do know what to expect. So if you do know what to expect, how can you prepare for it? What does your family typically do? How do you typically feel when you're there? And have a hard out time, right? Show up knowing you're just there for the dinner. Yeah. And that, you know, after once the pie starts coming out, so does the Jägermeister, and it's time to roll.
Yeah, you get your coffee and it's time to go home.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you kind of got to play your own cards. If I was to speak to the people newer in recovery that are going home to Thanksgiving and maybe don't know what it's like to be around all this drinking and family and celebration and don't have the experience to draw from, I think the experience to draw from, if that is you, is how you feel, right? Just base it off your emotions, and there's going to be times where you can handle being around alcohol and you can handle being around, you know, drunk Aunt Carol or whatever, bringing up politics.
Okay.
Yeah, so
that
stuff comes up too.
This year. That might be a recurring thing.
I'd be surprised if it didn't come up at your dinner table this year.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and especially like you said, when there's alcohol flowing and people's inhibitions are let down and they start more freely speaking their minds, I think it's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely. And yeah, so if you do know that happens, you can be prepared.
Yeah, time to go.
If you don't know, right, just kind of listen to your gut. If you start to feel uncomfortable, take a step outside. You know, I know that there's plenty of people that are there to support others, and, you know, they do all the Friendsgiving these days. And there's a lot of people that don't celebrate Thanksgiving, you know, or don't have many plans. And, you know, reach out to the people that can be there to support you if you feel that you need it. And I know that's like pretty like terrible advice, is to just like reach out if you need help. But I always say that the people that ask for help are the ones that get it, you know, and usually we're the barrier to getting the help, right? Like, it's pretty simple. If you need help, reach out. You're going to find someone to help you out.
Yeah, I
but
would
if
never
you don't
not
reach
take
out,
that call.
Right, exactly. Me neither. If someone called me Thanksgiving night, I'm going to answer it.
Yep. Yeah.
But the barriers that get in the way of calling, that's always the problem.
Well, and I think people are trying to be polite and they don't want to impose on other people enjoying their day. But any of us in recovery, well, I don't know about any of us, but the majority of us that are in recovery, we would love to take that call and help somebody through. And it's not an imposition to me or my family to take that call because we've been doing this so long.
It's how it is.
It is how it is.
That wouldn't be a Thanksgiving without it, you know?
No, in fact, I'd much rather somebody call me, you know, prior to something happening than something happening. And even if something did happen, I'm still going to take that call. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so like you said, the biggest barrier is the person themselves. And just know it is a barrier. It's not reality. Any of us in recovery would love to take your call or be willing to.
Yeah, absolutely. In AA, they call it the 10,000-pound phone. Like, just pick up the 10,000 pound phone, you know, to reach out.
It's a good point.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good metaphor.
It totally makes
that thing's
sense.
Heavy.
Yeah.
But when you pick it up, it works and people answer and you get the help you're looking for.
That wasn't that hard. Why did I think that was such a big deal?
I know, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that was like one of the biggest points that I wanted to bring up.
I think in the beginning, and this is probably the hardest part to overcome, is in the beginning when people are starting to drink, it really does look like fun. And for a lot of people who used to drink for fun, that can be the hardest part because you feel like you're not part of that group. You feel like you're not... You're feeling uncomfortable, you're feeling awkward, you're with these people, but you're not really on the same level with them because they're all drinking and having fun. And I think getting over that initial hurdle is the hardest part because if you stay with it long enough, like we talked about,
you'll
have fun and you'll also see their fun not being as fun and you'll be really glad that you're not on that roller coaster or that ride and that you had not gotten on it because then you stay in control of your emotions and your feelings and what's coming out of your mouth and your reactions to what's happening.
Yeah, that's an amazing point. Yeah, you start to see kind of it not be fun anymore. And then it almost makes you right a little bit. It rewards you for being sober. And, you know, if you are sober, chances are high it's going to be a lot easier for you to wake up early Black Friday. You know, and get all the things that you really wanted. So focus on your goals and why you really came to the family celebration, you know? That's what I was thinking. It's hard to get up early if you've been drinking.
Or feel good, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And I think the other thing that comes up for me really quick about the celebration, right? Like, that's what it is it comes up. What comes up to me is, like, the simple idea, like, reward system. You know, it's like, how do we reward ourselves for whatever you're there for? Like, if you're there to be around your family, okay, cool, be around your family. If you're there to eat the Thanksgiving food, like, enjoy that.
That's my favorite thing.
Me too,
it's
right?
It's my favorite meal of the year.
Yeah, it's like you're there to, like, connect with your family and your friends and enjoy some food. And, you know, alcohol doesn't have to be involved to enjoy something. And I think as you become more sober or you spend more time in recovery, you learn that you can enjoy life for just being life. There doesn't need to be something that, like, turns the volume up on Thanksgiving,
right?
Like, turkey is good sober, drunk, or stoned, right? Like, if you're sober, it's still good.
Yeah,
turkey's super good.
It's amazing,
you know,
especially with cranberry.
Yeah, exactly. It's really good. I don't like the cranberry, however, but most people do.
I do. I love
sweet
potatoes.
I'm like an anti-cranberry, and I'm an anti-sweet potato.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I like the stuffing. I like the ham. I like the rolls.
Deviled eggs.
I like those. Yeah, I like deviled eggs, but I hate hard-boiled eggs.
Same.
Because they smell so bad.
Same.
Yeah, we have I have a coworker that eats hard-boiled eggs in the morning and covers them in pepper.
Ugh. And then you gotta smell
that. I was like, dude, we gotta stop doing that in the office. You know,
your whole office is reeking like eggs.
But like peppered eggs, like peppered beef jerky, that super strong pepper.
Yeah.
That so it smells like peppered feet.
Ugh.
You know?
Yeah, not great for
people. Don't like to get
in.
Vulnerable when it smells like peppered feet.
You're like, it's not me. I promise. Yeah. This guy's
it's
egg.
This guy. Like, well, I don't trust him either. You know?
Good point.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So coming back to, I think we gave some really good tips on staying sober through the holidays and expecting things, especially this year, are going to be those that are allowed to have Thanksgivings. It's probably going to be, you know, a tense environment, or it can be, especially if politics are brought up or different opposing viewpoints, because for some reason, families decide that they want to talk about those things. So it's just really important to, you know, keep holding your space and, you know, recognize it is for what it is. And we still love everybody despite their viewpoints, but we're also not going to be affected by what's happening to the point where we need a drink to cope with this situation.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And I think it's a real point too, where politics and what are you doing for school or how's your job going or are you losing weight? Like all those like check-ins, you know, that could be difficult to talk about or like sore spots. Those are for sure going to come up, you know, especially if they historically do.
Yeah.
You know, it might be ignorant to think that they would not come back up again this year. Like just hope for the best isn't like always the best strategy. So I think, you know, highlighting sticking to your guns and enforcing your boundaries and staying true to like, hey, you know, I said we weren't going to talk about this and, you know, let's not talk about this. And I like the three strike rule, you know, where it's like three strikes and you're out. It's like, you know, I'm not going to talk about politics, mom. That's, you know, kind of the first strike, you know, like, let's not talk about it. Comes up again. You know, that's the second strike. I said, we weren't going to talk about it. It's, you know, starting to annoy me that you're not respecting this. And then the third strike is you're out, right? Like either you're out or they're out. Something's got to change and you got to hold that firm boundary of, I'm not going to talk about this. I don't know what you guys are understanding.
Yep.
So I like that point a lot because it does come up.
And it's a firm boundary. I like that too. And it's like in the moment, they might be upset with you, but the next day after they think about things, I think you gain a little respect that way as well.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, we're not here to be doormats for other people or allow their emotions and feelings and thoughts to you know, put us in an uncomfortable situation. You know, it's part of being positive over our own lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
And family feel like they have the right to push boundaries for some reason. We're family. We can push boundaries and we can do these things.
It's like a justified. It's like a blanket justification for behavior.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, I'm your brother.
Yeah.
I get to punch you.
Yeah, I get to do this.
Yeah, like, and it makes sense. And you don't question it because it's just...
It's the way it's always been.
Right. Yeah. So just kind of a blanket justifier, which, I don't know. It isn't always helpful.
No.
It's good to be aware of how it affects us and doesn't affect us. So I think that's huge, too. I didn't think we'd have this much to say, but we're kind of just firing off just like points, you know?
Totally. Well, and there's still a whole lot more that I want to cover because...
Yeah.
As we talked about, this is an opportunity for families to get eyes on people that they haven't seen in a while. Hopefully they get that opportunity this year, if not in person via Zoom. But I thought it would be important for us to sort of throw out some indicators for families who might be listening and they're wondering if their child or loved one may or may not be on drugs, of signs that we could point out that they could look for to sort of help. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, this guy's on drugs or this guy's using. And yeah, no, I think that's a great idea. Well, I mean, I guess as far as, you know, in-person visits, like if someone's going home, I think a great indicator is like weight loss or weight gain, like drastic differences in weight fluctuating up or down.
Yep. Frequent trips to the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know, if they're there 2 seconds, I got to go pee. Fine. Yeah. Of course you've been traveling, but then you're noticing they're in the bathroom a lot. That's a huge indicator.
That's a good one. I think like averted eye contact, kind of like the fluttering eyes or just kind of like this like anxiousness, you know, almost like when you feel like someone's holding something back from you, that's, you kind of get a feeling that there's something's off.
Yep.
You know, I don't think you need to name, you don't need to have evidence or name that something's off. Generally, when something's off, you feel it.
Yep.
And it's like trusting the gut or the intuition. So I would say, you know, if you feel that something's off, I would kind of just accept that as truth rather than finding evidence to support that it's true. You know, trust your gut and know what you feel. Something's off, something's off.
I know, but addicts are so, and alcoholics are so convincing. You know, they almost know those questions are coming, so they'll lay the groundwork as to why they're behaving this way because they already know you're going to be questioning. It's like, oh, I know, I look so tired because, you know, I had this really long night. And so they kind of will lay the pathwork because they know
it's coming up.
They know it's coming up. And so, you know, it's...
I've been on this crazy diet. It's so crazy. I've lost like 40 pounds this month.
Exactly. We're smart. We know how to avoid detection or at least think about avoiding detection, but...
Yeah. People don't lose 40 pounds in a month.
Yeah. Well, here's another clear indicator. I remember one Thanksgiving at my grandma's house and beautiful food. And I just walked in there and I like had a plate and I literally just moved the food around on my plate, like acting like I was eating. And it's like,
not eating is huge.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Not eating is a real big one. Obviously, nodding out, that would be a real big one as well.
Yeah. Yeah. You most likely don't need us to tell you that one. But if you fall in the mashed potatoes, you know, you get mashed potatoes on your chin.
You're falling asleep. Yeah.
Yeah. We got issues. You should give us a call on that one. But I think that's a great point, especially with like cocaine and amphetamines, the appetite suppressant. And, you know, if you know your kids or your brothers or your aunts or your uncles and, you know, they love eating and now they're just all of a sudden eating a side salad and just moving it around and just all that stuff, that's a huge indicator too. I really like the bathroom one. I really like the, I'm going to go take a walk. Mm-hmm. Like trying to find like silly reasons to not be present.
Sure.
Those are huge ones and they present differently for everybody with different drugs and alcohol. And
showing up with guests that are shady themselves. It's like, oh, this is my new friend. This is my boyfriend. This is my girlfriend. This is my new best friend. Somebody that they themselves look all weird because a lot of times you don't want to show up to your family without a friend. And
yeah, absolutely.
Just as messed up as you are, if not more.
Yeah. And I would say another big indicator too is kind of just like their physical appearance, but more in regards to like cleanliness or more in regards to like what they're wearing. You know, when I think of Thanksgiving, I think of somewhat dressing up, you know, maybe a nice flannel and pair of jeans. And, you know, so maybe if someone shows up in like sweatpants and pajamas and, you know, unkempt hair, no makeup, I think that could be, you know, something to maybe keep eyes on or be aware of.
Absolutely.
Or that could just be a projection of my own mind. But that's what I would that's what I would look for, you know, or talking too much.
Right.
Super talkative, trying to cover it up with just words, you know, not letting you get a word in to be like, so how's life? Are you going to the gym still? Like they just bombard you and bombard you.
Endless communication. Yeah.
Over talking. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Super sensitive emotions that aren't appropriate for what's going on. Yeah. Like laughing at something that's like not funny, being really like upset about something that's not even that sad. So yeah, I would say emotions that don't match what's occurring.
That's a good one too. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. Just kind of responding too high or too low.
Yeah.
Like that's not appropriate for the situation.
Yeah, getting super angry and storming out. Like we see that one a lot.
Yeah.
That's a good way for them just to get out of the situation is to get really mad over something petty and I'm out of here. And
yeah.
It's like, oh, wait, I didn't even think that was that big of a deal. But they got the perfect out now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they've just blamed it on you.
Yeah, and then now they can go use or drink more. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like I guess I feel so far removed from like active addiction that it's, you know, it's hard to kind of pinpoint some things to look. I mean,
the
we
eyes.
Have pinpointed a lot
yeah,
of things.
Yeah, the eyes, pinpointed
yeah,
eyes.
Yeah, sunglasses.
Dilated eyes.
Sunglasses at dinner.
Yeah.
Total, like, bad indication. Yeah. Yeah, pinpointed eyes, pupils too big.
Yep.
Pupils too small.
Yep. People scratching, itching.
Yeah. That's a good one for opiates. You know, you're super itchy, your nose is red, eyes are sunken
yeah.
in.
Yeah. Picking your face, that's a good meth one where they're, you know, got extreme acne or they're picking their face and you're like, dang, what's happening with that person? The body doesn't like drugs. It definitely reacts in ways
negatively
like
to
that.
Them.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. Wow. Bringing back a lot of memories over here, Ange.
sorry, Dal. I hope I'm not triggering you over here.
No. Just for my,
And again, this year is going to be more difficult because I think a lot of people, there's travel restrictions and they might not be able to gather. And so, you know, try to do your best to visually get eyes on people with Zoom. Like, you know, demand a Zoom thing. If you haven't seen somebody for a while and you're like a little worried about them, I think now more than ever, we got to be checking up on people.
Yeah.
At least we always had Thanksgiving for that accountability for somebody to check up on us. And if we didn't show up, it was so bad that everybody would know something was wrong.
Yeah.
But I think this year it's such a different world that they're going to fall through the cracks and we need to reach out and check on them like now more than ever because it's going to be really easy for them to slide under the radar.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And I think what that brings up for me too is kind of like reframing it a little bit to like we're not trying to catch people doing wrong, but we're trying to make sure people are okay. Because due to the state of the world, it would make sense to not be okay this year.
Yep.
It wouldn't be surprising. It wouldn't be hard to like comprehend that people are having a difficult time. And, you know, maybe they were looking forward, maybe they're in college and they're looking forward to like coming home and seeing their family and just having some normality in their life. And now they don't get it and they're stuck at college or whatever. And it's kind of like hopelessness, right? Like you don't get to see the people you look forward to seeing. You don't get to do the things that you're used to. Routines fall out, old habits, you know, old routines start to show back up because the world's changing. And yeah, it's just, there's a lot to look out for is what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
And it's not in the name of trying to catch, but trying to help.
Trying to help because it's, you know, suicide rates are higher than ever. And ultimately, I think with drug addiction, it's like, it's either, you know, death by suicide, death by overdose, or prison. You know, there's not a lot of options. And so whatever we can do to help and catch it early before it results in something like that, it's just imperative.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And I think it's like the responsible thing to say, right? It's not like extremely uplifting or upbeat to say that like most likely people are struggling right now, but I think it's authentic and it's real and it's realistic. Like it's super realistic that this is happening to people right now.
And it happens every year. This year it's just being compounded times like a million. So So and I think again that's what's prompted this episode because we know how hard it is every year for people who are struggling, and this year is just it's a whole nother level of struggle. So whatever we can do to, you know, get eyes on people, help people, see if they need help, you know, really dig in there, really ask those tough questions to see if there's an end to try to help someone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Before it gets to that point where it's you know, not a good result happening.
Well said, Ange. And so I guess we could springboard off of that. And it's like, okay, what if we do notice these indicators coming up? How do we help? What's the right way to help? What's the right way, you know, to be supportive or call somebody out? How do you approach that? How do you bring it up? What would you advise or suggest?
I would advise someone to reach out to our website, talk to one of our counselors, look for the best path, see what kind of relationship you have with this person. Can you have a direct communication, or do you have to like get an intervention together to say, we all know, especially if this is the first time you're going through this, there's so much to know and there's so many variables, and I would hate to send somebody in blind and say, just go confront the person and tell them you know, because that's not always the best way to handle it. That might make them, you know,
push back
and then not want help. And so I would definitely encourage someone to reach out for help to a professional that knows how to help you and strategize the best way to handle the person that you love. We found it so interesting. It used to be, I don't know if you remember, well, I'm sure you remember back when that show Intervention was on.
Yeah.
Everybody needed an intervention. Everybody wanted an intervention. Intervention was like the hot thing.
Yeah,
like
they made it seem like it always worked.
It always worked and everybody needed one. But, you know, after it kind of came and went and that went down, we just continue to work with families, and a lot of times you don't need a full-blown interventionist and intervention to actually get this person help, because they're like at that edge and you can say the right things and do the right things and find them good treatment. Here's your option, and then they're more willing because you've already done all the work and you're just like bringing them to the place.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think that's really good advice, especially seeking out professional or expert opinion on, you know, I know there's a lot of stuff out there with treatment centers and blogs and counselors and rehabs, and, you know, everyone kind of has their own approach, but I think generally the idea is, how can you come from a place of like support and not like attacking or accusing, but just making it safe and making it okay for them to be open and honest about what they're going through. And then from there, you can plan the resources and like the hows and the to-dos and the solutions and where to go and this and that. But I think a general rule of thumb is your approach shouldn't be one of like hostility and like confrontation. Because people are going to ridge up and push back no matter what.
Absolutely. And I would say get your ducks in a row. You know, get the evidence. Find that bag in their pocket, or find the drugs. Have the path so that it's indisputable. Because addicts and alcoholics, when they're not ready, they could talk, they could have a smoking gun in their hand and they're going to be sure. like, I didn't do that. And you're like, dude, I see the smoking gun in your hand. And no, that wasn't me. So you really got to get your ducks in a row so that you can effectively handle them and be able to handle all those objections. And obviously the more evidence that you have or you've compiled, the better it is to hit them with too.
That's perfect. And I think the best way to point out that point you just made is go watch an episode of Cops. Right? Every episode of Cops, it's never their drugs. It's never their car. It's never their gun. They were never the one fighting. And I always think it's so funny. He's like, is this your crack pipe? No, that's not mine. I've never seen that. You know, and it's just blatant, right? Like, that's kind of the behavior you could expect from, you know, someone abusing drugs or alcohol. So I think that's a really good point. You know, it's make sure if you are going to sit down with somebody, you also know what to do if they said they are abusing drugs and if they're not. Because it could be, you know, a long drawn out process, and you're in the first confrontation or the first let's bring it up and talk about it and sit down could just be planting seeds. Yep. You know, we want you to know we're here to support you regardless of what you're doing. It's okay. It's safe. There's solutions. There's, you know, places to go. There's resources. And they might not accept it right away.
Well, in fact, we hear that, I think, a lot at graduation where we hear clients tell their parents, like, you offered help so many times, and we'll have the parents say, and finally they took me up off of it. Finally they called from jail and said, okay, Mom, I'm ready. So I think that's super valid point right there, Dallas, is, yeah, sometimes it is just laying out the path and saying, when you're ready,
I'm ready.
We are going to give you help.
Yeah, and it's just supporting them along the way. It's super difficult to do that. I feel like we're doing a whole episode now on how to get someone into treatment, but I guess that's helpful. If you're trying to get somebody into treatment, here's how you do it.
Yeah,
you know,
timely.
I think me and Angie might have skipped the gratitude portion of Thanksgiving, but we'll get back to that.
We'll definitely get there. We'll get there. We
missed the sunny side and the fuzzy side of the holidays, Ange. We went straight to the darkness.
We went straight to the darkness, but you know what? We'll end on that sunniness. You know,
we'll
bring him down in the depths, and then we'll bring it to the light.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Okay.
Yeah.
We just did it reverse, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think for me, even just talking about this kind of stuff, it makes me feel grateful and thankful, A, that, you know, we have the ability to help people, and B, that, you know, I'm not having to go through this right now myself. And if there's anything I can do to help others through these times, if we can help our clients have better holidays so they're not getting... so distraught over the holidays, because we teach something here. It's called seasonal or situational triggers, which means like a certain time of year or certain holidays spark an emotion in you that either wants you to use or it sends you down a pretty bad path. And that's kind of what we work on here. And I think we realize that a lot of people, it's the holidays is that time for them, or one of the times for them in their lives.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree anymore. Yeah, it's definitely something we teach here and we talk about, and it's good to be aware of. And, you know, I think with the holidays, usually it's chilly, it's cold, it's dark, it's rainy, it's snowy. And for some people that has like a situational effect too, or, you know, you're cold, so it's something to be agitated about. Just like when you get hot, you're agitated. When you're cold, it's uncomfortable. And that kind of starts the snowball effect. And, you know, people aren't with their families. So then they remember why they're not. And then they feel a lot of shame and guilt against themselves for not being able to be there. And it creates a negative snowball effect. And, you know, if there's not support or counselors or friends to kind of help pull you out of that, it's hard to navigate yourself because it feels so real and true and raw. And for the most part, it is, right? Like, the clients that end up here have done something unskillful to be away from the people they love the most. Yeah. And as motivating that as that can be, it can also be just as depressing.
It can. And I know we struggle with, on both sides, the families are like, well, I just want them done for the holidays. And we have the client who's like, I just want to be home for the holidays. And it's like, well, both of you need to chill out, because the best thing is that they're here getting the help they need. There'll be many, if you do it right, many more holidays after this, but you can't be pushing it so hard. It's just a day. And I think at the end of the day, what matters the most is this person is sober, they're safe, they're being productive, and they're getting on a good path. And trying to force this so that people can enjoy holidays is it's a big falsity. Like, we have to handle that a lot.
Happens
around
a lot.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's just kind of that long-term gratification versus short-term gratification, where in the short term, people are upset. You know, people are upset that they're not getting the things that they wanted or doing the things they wanted to be doing, and they could be feeling a lot better than they do right now if they were at home. And vice versa for the families, too. You know, I just wish my husband was home so right. I didn't have to feel so alone.
Right.
And then we get kind of caught up in our own emotions and dictate making a bad decision for somebody else's treatment. And thank God we're here, right, yeah. to kind of stand up for the long game, the end game, the recovery.
Bigger picture.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a really good point to bring up.
Yeah, because it does come up quite often. And like you said, sometimes our hearts will bleed like, oh, you know, we really want to get them home for the holidays. But then we have to say, but is it worth sacrificing them getting the tools they need to stay sober? Especially if we're sending them out there and they're not ready. That's just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, or sending them out right now to a Thanksgiving that can't happen.
Right.
And we send them out on a solo mission to just be by themselves. So there's a lot of things to weigh out. And, you know, I think that just paints a picture that not every situation's the same. And it could never be treated the same. And, you know, it's one of the things I love about this place is it's not black and white.
Right.
It's not just, yeah, I guess I'll just leave it there. It's not black and white and everything's a little bit different. There is nuance and there is things to consider when dealing with people's life and recovery.
Yeah, and we do that well. We look at all the different angles and what is the greatest good for the person that's in front of us.
Yeah, we absolutely do that.
I want to bring up one more thing.
Yeah,
before we transition.
It's your show too,
Ange.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, if there is people listening, don't wait for after the holidays. We also see this a lot too, where families are like, well, I don't really want to put him into rehab right now because we have Christmas coming up and he really needs to be there so the family could see him. But
right.
I just would say, if you know there's a problem, handle it sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
So they miss one Christmas. So you might have to tell people they're off doing something else. Like, got to set the ego aside and look at the person for themselves and say, if I don't act now, they might not be here for Christmas. Like, you can't have that as a barrier to wanting to get help. And I don't want to call it self-serving, because everybody, it's their family. They want to be with them. This is a time of giving and caring, and it's not a selfish thing to want that. But at the same time, if you know the person is struggling, I would not wait till after the holidays to get them help if you know they need it now.
Yeah, no, that's an amazing point. Because, I mean, we've seen that go well, and we've seen that go bad, and it begs the question, you also got to ask, you know, what if they didn't go to treatment right now, but what if they did? You know, like, you have to look at the other side of the coin too, where why is now not a good time to go to treatment and why is now a great time to go to treatment? And you can't just look at one side because it's more comfortable for you.
Right.
And that's a hard position to be in, because then you have to make a hard decision.
You do. And I think a lot of people don't want to be put in that position to to make that decision.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when that decision costs money, too. There's like another barrier where it's like, it's a lot easier to just not.
Right. We'll deal with that later.
Yeah.
Like, let's just, you know, try to pretend it's not happening and enjoy what's happening. But it's like, are you really enjoying what's, you know, in front of you when you know this is going on? Not really.
Yeah. I remember going to treatment in January 27th, 2014, you know, and that Christmas, I needed to be there. I needed to be here in treatment. And, you know, I think family was just like, let's just pretend everything's okay for the holidays.
Right.
You know, and that might not always be the right move.
No, it's not.
And pretending's never the answer, you know.
It isn't. And especially this, it's just life or death. You know, it's like, I'd like to say, yeah, you're right. Enjoy your holidays, come afterwards. But it's kind of like with addiction and you just never know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not worth the wait to get through the holidays, because how quality is that person going to be through the holidays anyway?
Yeah. Knotted out mashed potatoes version.
Or in the bathroom the whole time, or finding reasons to be mad, or, you know, sneaking the alcohol down the hall. Like, there's a million things that could go wrong by forcing the holiday when you know they need help.
Ain't that the truth? Well, Ange, I think it's time we pick up the vibe a little bit. It's funny because we're in her office right now and the sun's setting and it's starting to get dark. And maybe we pick up the vibe a little bit and talk about maybe kind of gratitude and how to find it as we're winding down here.
I agree. We should definitely.
Yeah.
I know. We could really go down that hole, but
we're getting stuck in a rut.
Yeah,
but it's a good rut. It's a true rut. And
Yeah. Well, and I think the whole thing is we're just trying to help people. So exactly. Whenever we can offer some candid advice, I think it is our obligation to do so.
No, I agree 100%. So, Ange, it begs the question, how and what, or I guess not how and what, but what are you grateful for this Thanksgiving or this holiday season?
And that is the purpose of Thanksgiving, right? I mean, the food is great, the company's great, but it is all about finding things to be thankful for. It is Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And for me, it's a no-brainer. I'm thankful that I have this vehicle, which is Elevate, that we can help people who are struggling. And we've been very fortunate with, it being an essential business that we could help keep all of our employees employed. And we can also help clients who are struggling through these times. And there's just no better feeling on the planet than knowing that we're making an impact in not just the people's lives who are here, but all the people that are around them that are able to sleep better at night, knowing that their loved ones are getting help. And, when they go back home, the positive influence that they're going to have around everybody around them. So, yeah, I mean, it's number one thing I'm thankful for. And of course, my family and all that kind of stuff. But just having this place, Elevate, to be able to help others.
Yeah, you got a whole laundry list of gratitude, Ange, and that's good. That's super good. Well, I mean, I guess if I was to answer that question, I don't think I'm spending time for Thanksgiving here with Elevate and my Elevate family. And that sits well with me. That doesn't feel wrong. It didn't even feel wrong when I was a client. And so I'm excited to be, like you said, have a platform to be the sober guy that's there for the other new sober guys and gals that are having a tough go at it. I like that role. I enjoy the responsibility of that role. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to do that. And then, like you said, right, friends and family and connection. And I always kind of just give a shout out to myself for my own recovery in these times where I can be away from my family and be okay with myself. And I know that if I don't see my family on Thursday, that I'm still going to be okay. And it's not going to create the things that it creates here for others. It's not like I need other things to be okay with myself. Right, I know regardless of what day it is, I'm okay with who I am, and I'm gonna bring that into the next day. And I've found that through recovery and through Elevate and through my sobriety. So I'm always thankful for that, because I spend some Thanksgivings, dude, with no food and no friends and no family and no connection, and it's not like that anymore. So I really have a lot of gratitude for that. And yeah, I mean, I could keep going forever on gratitude, but that's kind of, I think where I stand with that.
Yeah. Well, and I think our clients feel that as well, because, if you got to be in rehab, why not be there with a lot of people who are happy to be there with you and help you and make it a fun experience? I mean, I think some of the best volleyball happens on Thanksgiving.
It does. We have the most time to play.
Yeah. You have the best workouts. You guys program some really hard workouts. So the people that want to work out, they get a good one there.
The workout we're doing this Thanksgiving is called Tryptophan.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So that'll be good.
Is that one you guys made up, or is that a...
I don't know. Tom found it. Tom found it. I don't know. Yeah, I don't think he made it up, but it's called Tryptophan, which I think is funny.
It's absolutely appropriate because, that's what's in turkey. And
yeah, it's on brand.
What a great way to work off all that amazing Thanksgiving food. And that's something new, I think, for the majority of people here, too. It's like, I don't think I ever worked out on Thanksgiving. I don't think I ever would have even considered working out on Thanksgiving.
Like, and now it's like mandatory.
Yeah.
Now exactly. It's mandatory. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, so you got to earn your football, your bingo, and your good turkey dinner. You got to earn it with a good workout.
That's it. Yeah, you got to earn the couch time.
Yeah, and that's all just the balance of that we try to teach everybody. It's like you can have a good time, and for a lot of us, working out has become the good time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It really has. Yeah, so I think the last thing I would say is just to make time to find gratitude and not use Thanksgiving as the only day of the year to be grateful, because the things that you're grateful for on Thanksgiving are the things that you generally have every day of every year that you're here. You get to be alive, you get to see the people you love and do the things that you love to do, or you have the ability to be alive and capable and move your body. Like, there's so much things to be grateful for that it can kind of be a bad habit to only seek gratitude on one day of the year.
Yeah.
That's unhealthy.
It's unhealthy. But I also think it's been difficult for a lot of people this year to find things to be grateful for if they've lost their jobs or houses, you know, the restrictions and things like that. And so sometimes it's hard to find things to be have gratitude for when you're kind of in a bad place. But once you can find that, like the silver lining, like this is terrible, but this one little good thing came out of that. Like, and so sometimes it's almost a process of trying to find the good. But I think the more you start finding the good and the things to be grateful for, the easier it can become as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a habit.
It is a habit.
It's a habit that you got to work on.
You do. You do. I have these little dice. It's a gratitude dice, and it has every letter, and then it has like numbers. And every day I roll my dice because I'm a huge game player, of course.
Nice.
Any opportunity to play a game, I'm doing
Let's
it.
Let's do it. Yeah.
And so it'll be like 4W, and then I've got to come up with 4 things that start with W
that you're grateful for.
That I am grateful for, give me a spark or make me excited, or nice. That I'm grateful for. And I kind of like that because it's totally random, but yet has a direction to it.
Would you say working out, working out, working out, working out?
Wad, wad,
yeah.
Wad, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Workouts, 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 workouts.
Exactly. And for some reason, I land on W a lot. Like, I always get the random letters X, W, Y. Mm-hmm. Like, where's the N, S, T? Like, I don't get any of the easy ones.
The easy ones. Yeah, where's all those at?
Yeah, I think it's weighted weird. But anyway, so there is ideas like that, too, if you're struggling to find things to be grateful for, where you can sort of create that habit in a fun way as well.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that. Well, Ange, this has been fun. This has been a good one.
Yeah.
I feel like we're on a tear here.
I think we did.
What an easy topic to talk about, huh?
It was a good one. I think it is necessary. I think, you know, it's something that people need to hear right now. It's like, if you haven't seen someone, reach out. You know, odds are
if
they've not been communicating, maybe things are not good and it's not the time to be polite. Like, get in there, push in there, see if they need help, offer help, get eyes on them, do what you can to facilitate some opening to get them to reach for help if you think there's a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. I would just say rewind the episode and listen to the things that we said and use them as you can. And you know, as the outro that we'll play too at the end of the show, we go over our website and our phone number. And, you know, like we said, if there's any way we can help, let us know. We'd love to help. And we're here for everybody.
Yeah. And Dallas and or I are available to anyone at any time if you ever need help.
That's, yeah. Our Instagram handles are in the show notes too. So
yeah.
If you like getting super personal with it, add us on Instagram.
Absolutely.
Reach out.
And we answer that all the time too. So.
Yeah, there we go. So we're accessible, and we'd love to be of support and service if we can. And I guess in closing, I hope you guys enjoy the holidays.
Hope you guys enjoy the holidays. Be there for one another. We're here for you. If anybody needs anything, please reach out. And other than that, yeah, let's try to make the most of a non-optimum situation, which we're confronted with this year. Let's try to find the silver linings.
Yeah, that's the challenge. Game on.
Yeah.
Let's make a game out of it.
Deal.
Try and go have fun.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, guys, that's our show for today. We hope you found some value from listening. And if you did, please share with someone you know or love. You can find us on social media. We are at Elevate Addiction Services.
And if you or a loved one are struggling with addiction, please call our toll-free, confidential 24-hour helpline at 833-33-SOBER or visit our website at elevaterehab.org.